Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
In South Korea, they have this. Not everyone thinks this, of course. It's impossible to generalize to a whole society of people, but
Go ahead.
It's a common superstition. It's a common superstition that you shouldn't close the door in a room that has a fan running, because somehow the mistaken line of thought is the fan creates a vacuum such that you will suffocate in a room that has a running fan, and if the door is closed.
What?
South Korea. So like
South Korea?
Yes, South Korea, not North. Oh. In North, they probably don't have fans because they don't know how to make them. Oh. Like in South Korea, it's a common superstition that if there's a fan, like a ceiling fan in a room, if you close the door, you will die, you'll suffocate because it sucks the air out of the room. Like, no, it's called circulation, it's different. Like, there's a thing, there's a Wikipedia article on it, you can search it. Search fan death.
But yet they still build the rooms with doors and fans.
No, they don't have ceiling fans for the most part. Like, they sell, like, standalone fans that people who don't believe this nonsense will put in a room. Or people just get really freaked out when you close the door.
Or you'll have a fan and the door's off the hinges.
Well, I don't know. It's like, it's the same. Think of it as their equivalent of if somebody opens an umbrella inside a house. Some people freak out.
And they swallow and suffocate the umbrella?
No, but like that kind of level of
cause
like,
your house to
oh my God, you're doing something crazy. Like, yeah. If there's a fan in a room and you move to close the door, people freak out the same way. Some people, not all people, of course.
I've never been more disappointed in the culture that brought us Gundam style and StarCraft as a competitive sport.
Well, those people probably don't believe in fan death. You can search fan death on Wikipedia. You can read all about it.
So do they think there's like a vacuum inside their computer at all times?
I don't think they've gotten that far.
Oh, it's Tron.
They've also, all got computers. They're playing StarCraft.
Most likely the people that believe that don't have computers, I'm guessing.
For education.
I don't or lots both. Of dumb rednecks that have computers.
All right, that's fair.
Ladies and gentlemen...
And on Dumb Rednecks on Computers, the latest podcast.
Yeah, right? They've already got an episode title at the two-minute mark. Welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury. I am your host, by default, Cyrus Mortizavi. I am not afraid of fans, but I do have a website at fanbasecomics.com. You can link to and get to all my stuff from there.
Just don't look at it with the door closed.
that way madness lies.
South Koreans that are listening to this podcast... Open your door before you go to the fan base website.
See, we just lost the Korea vote.
I tried not to generalize.
We have to go through like a certain one episode without like insulting somebody's entire like ethnicity.
It will not be this episode again, apparently.
Here with us tonight with an amazing amount of knowledge about South Korea is Ariel Rodriguez.
I've only been there once.
Yet you know so much.
But you escaped the fan death. That's good.
I escaped fan death.
What did you, so did you go there and like explain to them you don't have to live this way?
No, I didn't. Look, I never met anybody there that ever believed that. I learned about it through the internet.
But what were you searching for? What was the Google term?
No, somebody
that
else.
You used?
Somebody else mentioned it to me. Not sure if I can use the name on the podcast, so I won't. But a friend of mine, you both know him, mentioned that this was this crazy thing that he read that was like that. I'm like, I really? And so I looked it up, and yeah, sure enough.
Is this a room troll?
No, not a room troll.
Only one room troll, sir.
Yeah, I know.
When I tell you who it is off the episode later, you'll know it. It's a legit thing.
Okay. Also with us, also not living in fear of fans, but weeping uncontrollably.
I love the fans. I love all the fans. Apparently we have one. They're listening to us.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I thought this was going into the abyss, but apparently America has tuned in.
It's Keyshawn the Accuser.
That's right.
the Accuser. That's what I'm going with tonight.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the...
Zeebo?
The morning. Keyshawn the Zeebo.
Oh, callback already.
The morning. morning star or whatever.
No, the sword of the morning.
The sword of the morning.
The sword of the morning.
Sword of the
Zeebo.
Zeebo.
Okay, so we forgot about this, but...
We did?
Well, I meant to bring this up earlier. But Ariel recently watched the film Pain and Gain, and he had some thoughts on it.
No, look. I've only seen Pain and Gain. I've only seen, like, the first 50 minutes of it because I actually could not make it through the movie.
Oh!
Maybe it was just my mental state at the time, but... I just could
You were
not.
In the wrong mental state.
I
you
could not make it through,
state,
man.
The same state as me.
I could not make it through.
Oh, man.
I could not make it through.
I was high comedy.
Question. Were you on drugs when you were watching
no,
this film?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Were you, have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh.
It's on Netflix. You can just
That's true.
It.
Yeah, you need to see it. You can be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Couldn't
on this.
Do it. Didn't do it for me.
I might have just been in the proper state of mind for some really, truly absurd level shit. the great part is a lot of that insanity is true.
Yeah.
That's what...
I mean, my understanding is
no more, if you only quit at 50 minutes in, you didn't see... that's almost, you know, that's a good point. That would be like the movie... Oh, God, I'm going to screw it up and I can't remember the name of the movie. What was that great... I'm going to have to tell a tale to get me there because my mind works that way.
Sure.
I'm off in left field. There's a zombie movie with two buddies in the bar.
I'm already
Shaun
out.
Of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead. Thank you. Shaun of the Dead. Those two actors have made several other movies.
Sure.
The next movie after Shaun of the Dead where they're police officers.
Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz. Which I haven't
If
seen.
You quit Hot Fuzz 50 minutes into it, you would have thought that movie was just terrible. Because everything goes... Complete
I enjoyed Hot Fuzz.
Right, but Hot Fuzz the 50
minutes in.
See,
I like the top to bottom too.
It was okay. For me, it was okay. It was just kind of a setup. It didn't go ape shit until halfway through when you find out all the spoilers that all the chaos is going on in the town and it just upends all at once.
Sure. The second
part
is definitely much better.
It just goes ape shit. Same kind of thing with Pain and Gain. If you bailed out 50 minutes in.
I guess just Michael Bay didn't do it for me.
Oh, no, he wasn't doing it.
It's just
absurd.
The
rock first half.
Didn't capture me.
Oh,
there
it's the second
either.
Half. It just goes glorious for me.
Maybe I'll revisit it.
But you definitely have to be in a state of mind where this is a Michael Bay comedy. That's the way
that's hard.
I've seen Bad Boys.
It's absurd. No.
It's not Bad Boys.
No, it's not Bad Boys. This is like almost him making fun of himself.
But, like, the two main characters...
Like a Weird Al version
of
Transformers Michael Bay.
I guess, like, I don't... I guess part of my problem with it was I didn't like the two main characters at all.
Oh, you're not supposed to.
I know. I understand, like, who they are and, like, who there's...
It's
a dark comedy.
But I just did not like them from the very beginning. Nothing interested me from the very beginning. And it's just like, I can't
see,
do this.
See, you missed out on them being punished for being that way. There's catharsis in this, man.
I guess. I just wasn't in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
I always struggled with Breaking Bad, just a little bit.
Uh-huh,
because
they're unlikable.
I found Jesse Pinkman very unsympathetic.
Yeah. I think because Hank
was
actually
there, a better example, Seinfeld. Hate that show.
Oh, because
absolutely hate that show. That's not a show about nothing. It's a show about four jackasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I liked Kramer in that show because he was just crazy. But
I liked all of it, but he's right. It was all of jackasses.
Yeah.
But that's what this is like.
I guess.
It's like, but in this, they all pay the price in the second half of the film.
Yeah,
and to watch it. And then to know that some of the craziest shit that's in that movie is true, that really did happen, it's just on a...
In my hometown.
Because when you're watching it, it really is like, well, no one would write this shit. This is ape shit nuts. Some of the stuff that's going on. And then if I, no. That was one of the real things that happened. And it's glorious. But I will not rant anymore. I think we've ranted for years on this film now. We're on year two.
I would say it's our second favorite topic behind DC Sucks.
Yeah. And George R. R. Martin can't write the last
goddamn
book.
God damn it.
That's pretty high up there, too.
This fucking table. Yeah, that was actually one of the podcasts that got lost, was one where I lost my mind about that and went off on it. Maybe that's for the best. Oh, I want to tear his beard off and feed it to him. I hate him so much. But I digress. Okay, we have an agenda. We've all seen Guardians of the Galaxy, yes? Yes. You guys and the listeners?
Is there a quiz about nicknames?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought this was
a... No. That was a one... That was...
Well, is that a one-off?
I don't know. What'd you guys
think?
You
said we're starting a...
I don't know. I'll have to come up with another good topic for it, but I thought that was...
It was fun.
I thought that was interesting. In the film, Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel Studios 2014, the main character, Star-Lord, a.k.a. Peter Quill?
Yes. Question mark? Peter yes. Jason Quill.
Well, there you go. Peter J. Quill. Has from his mother the Awesome Mix Volume 1, which you can purchase on iTunes. It is 12 classic songs from the 70s and 80s.
Number one album in America for a while there.
Yeah, and a pretty great album.
For the first time ever. There's mm-hmm. a soundtrack
yeah.
that hit number one on the Billboard that had no new music on it and hit number one on the Billboard. Yeah. That's never happened, never in happened history. Before.
Tarantino hasn't pulled it off, huh?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Never has it ever happened. It's a first.
Yeah.
See, I would have gotten that question wrong.
Really?
So you're ahead of one to me. Did not know that. But it got me thinking, if you were to make your own awesome mix, what would you put on there? Well, I'm listing these two gentlemen tonight and see if we can top it.
Fucking terrible question. It's horrible. I shouldn't say terrible. It's horrible.
Break it down for me. Why am I an asshole?
It's horrible.
See it.
God created MP3s. So we never had to face this kind of dilemma again of picking 12 songs. That was a hell that we all suffered through, at least I did, quite a bit in making my mixtapes.
Yeah, sure.
All the way up through probably junior or senior year of high school. And then MP3s came out in first or second year of college and MP...
Okay, you're dating yourself. Stop that.
I'm trying to... My first CD that I made that had just MP3s on it, and there were like 500 songs. It was amazing. It was a lot of songs. Whatever it was. I called it MP3-some. I was that happy.
I guess
to finally be unconstrained
yeah.
from the 12 to 15 song limit.
You're a little older than me, but when I was in high school, people were doing the same type of thing. But kids were selling them.
Oh, shit.
Like, some people would give them a list of songs they wanted.
Wow.
And they would go to Napster, download them all, burn them on a CD, and sell them
for
$5 a pop.
I'm talking pre-Napster. By the time Napster was really doing what Napster was doing, I was out of college. It was like, yeah.
That's what I said. You're a little older than me.
Yeah.
I was still
by the time I was getting ready to graduate high school, that was like some people's business.
Oh,
like,
my God.
They came to school, to learn, but they were selling CD compilations of MP3s.
Wow.
That's cool.
And making just... playable CDs, like stereos.
I was a high school senior.
We all pulled in together to buy a $550 CD burner. And wow. CDs were like $25 to $50 a pop.
Now they're cheaper than paper.
Burn. Oh, no. Yeah. And it was just
water.
It was a free-for-all back then. And it was nuts.
Yeah.
But, again, I was so happy
to finally
could never look back, to never go, well, what if I only had 15 songs, or 12 songs, or whatever.
Well, you know,
now I have been constrained yet again, and it's been pure hell. It's been a horror.
I'm so glad I brought this into your life.
To tell me I only have 12 songs. Because even back then, I wouldn't even get 12 songs when I was making my mixtapes, because... Me, I'm a little weirdo. I always wanted to have like one, two, maybe three songs, and then I'd interject like a 15-second little comedic something or other in there.
Oh, really?
Yes. So something just that simple. I would find a little tuba, and then it would be Robin Williams going, that'd be it. Next song. And
oh, so too soon.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, back then, it wasn't soon yet.
It wasn't soon yet.
He was still the genie. It was amazing.
Right. No, shit. This was way pre-genie. Oh, shit. But I can tell you the song that came afterwards, but used these mysterious ways. Exactly
how
the
appropriate.
That came out after that.
Now they just force a YouTube album onto your iPhone.
Oh, shit. No kidding. You can't get it off.
Really? You can't get it off?
Oh, no. You two has become like a STD.
Oh, you know how you fix that? You don't buy an iPhone.
There's this...
Do you have iTunes?
Yeah.
Then it's on yours.
Yeah.
Pull it up.
Don't plug your iPod into
there's
it.
There's a YouTube
your
album.
iPod, if you have an iPod Touch, right, it's probably on there.
It's on there. It's like an STD. It's a new YouTube.
It's new YouTube. New YouTube. Right.
In YouTube?
If there's a song on it, I haven't found it yet. But maybe
have you listened to it?
Yeah. It was there.
Yeah, it was there.
Oh, shit. Maybe it'll be something good they gave you. They're giving it away for free. Oh, God. That's a scary precedent.
Uh-huh.
That's a very scary price.
Take this. I don't really know. Take it.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Mr. Apple, I don't fuck you.
Yeah.
This is a gift. You keep it.
I mean, right now, Apple and Tim
Cook
has said, well, you know, all right, let's do this with you too. You know, everybody loves you too, except for the people that don't. And what's the next one they're going to do? You know?
I don't know.
It's but.
Pick another stadium
band. Can't be good.
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park.
Right. Everybody loves Coldplay.
Coldplay.
Oh,
they do love Coldplay.
You're right. Yeah. That is who it's going to be. Yeah. And I will Coldplay. Be in hell with you.
Right. Yeah. Why is Coldplay showing up where it's taking up hard drive space? What the hell is going on? And next thing you know, even worse is if they just keep on, this is just more and more. And pretty soon, 98% of your library is shit you don't want.
That's an interesting solution to the dilemma that no people won't pay for music. Fine, take the shittiest stuff you have.
Yeah.
You want it still? No, I didn't think so.
There's some post online.
This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Don.
People were talking about...
U2 STD.
People were talking about how, like, they go through the progression of time of, like, you know, 1989 or 91, wherever CDs came out, CD was like $30.
Oh,
and then, like, it was $10, then, like, an MP3 album was this, and then a song was 99 cents. It's like, now, fuck you, take it. It's like,
yeah.
Like 2014.
It's punitive distribution.
I don't care for it,
America.
The price steadily declined until fuck you, take it. That was the last one.
And people still don't want it. That's how bad the industry has gotten. That they will just throw music at your face. And you will spit at it. And say, get this out of my face.
Who? Yeah, if you went back to when you were burning Mysterious Ways after Robin Williams laughed.
No, dude, I wasn't burning. That was tapes.
Oh, tapes, fine. Cassette tapes. So go back to that time, and if you could tell your young self, there will be a day when they will give out a U2 album for free, and people will say, fuck you for doing that.
Because you can left tell your out young the self. Adjective geriatric. They will give out a geriatric U2 album.
Well, but at the time, I don't know, depends on how big a U2 fan you were, but if you were a huge U2 fan back in the Joshua Tree days, let's say, would you ever believe that U2 would go to shit? Like, it's the wisdom of age that gives you the intuition to say, well, everybody kind of, you know, declines over time. But at the time, if you came back, you're like, they will push this album to you over the air for free. And people
will
wail and gnash their teeth.
On your magic Star Trek communicator. It'll just be there. And you can take pictures of your face just angry.
And share it with the world.
Right. And tell the whole world how you feel. What do you think of that?
Did you guys... Somewhat non-sequitur, but speaking of us being old men, did you guys see that thing where the term hang up is falling out of parlance?
Yeah, you see, because, Lexi was posting about this.
Yeah, it's our good friend, not friend, but I don't know, our muse, Alexander Douglas.
What kind of hang up?
So, like, if you hang like, up, you tell somebody to hang up their
because
phone.
Now you end call.
Like, you tell somebody to hang up their phone for people who are teenagers now. They've never had to hang up a phone. Like,
yeah,
there's no concept
the
of
plural generation
placing a phone.
It.
Yeah,
doesn't hang up phones.
They don't hang up phones. They hit end call on the cell phone. So the intuition of where the word hang up comes from, and even using the word hang up, isn't going to be part of the lexicon.
That's the devil.
This has been Keyshawn Tells
You. Zeebo, that's the devil.
Zeebo.
We have to
devil, they don't know, hang up! Much of my own children! I've been saying hang up to my children ever since they were born. Whenever I'm hang up the phone.
We have to get a stinger for when you go, oh man, angry. I don't know what it is.
It's Zeebo.
Zeebo!
That's what it is.
That is the devil.
That's the devil. That's the devil.
But it's true. Like you're gonna sound really anachronistic at one point, like sometime in the future, someday, when like you say hang up the phone, like I will do it, and like no one will know what the fuck I'm talking about because there's no phone to hang up. You hit end call. You hit the red button.
I can't wait for your youngest son to ask you, Daddy, what powers does Walkman have?
Walkman?
You just walk right through the goddamn wall.
The icons they use on cell phones right now, like there is the phone hung up, and there's a phone that's slightly off hook. Like they use those icons, uh-huh, green and red. Like those are gonna go away at some point, right? Like they mean nothing.
Well, it's like the floppy disk for say,
yeah,
right?
Like those things like lose their analog to the real world pretty fast, and they just basically meaningless. Like to anyone who's younger than some age,
yeah.
And like that bar, that threshold keeps moving. Like it's kind of crazy.
Unless you keep calling it that,
but you won't it's know like, the reason why you call it that. Like you would hang up the receiver on the wall to your phone. Yeah. In fact, you'd hang up the cup when you used to have to wind the phone. But like that doesn't exist.
That's okay. I mean, we use plenty of words that we don't know the etymological background to.
Name one.
Sure, that's
language. Challenge. I broke
dead air.
You broke me. I'm gonna sit here and think. This isn't the time for thinking. This is a podcast. Don't you know? I'm just sitting here trying to think of every word we're talking about and won't think. I don't know what the etymology of the word think is, but we use it.
But
I'm trying to think of one that...
But the meaning, like, there's kind of a one-to-one direct meaning when you use a common word like think. Yeah. Like, the word hang up, like...
No, I know, but there's bound to be...
Like... People still say start the car, but there's still a starter in
your
car. That's actually a mathematical thing. Right? Like, there's an actual
unit.
Like,
a
unit.
Like a foot pound.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything now.
Yeah.
Other than
that's a Jerry, actually, that's, back to what you were saying, that's a Jerry Seinfeld joke, one of my favorite Jerry Seinfeld jokes. Like, they say that the space shuttle has 20,000 horsepower. What are you going to do? Strap 20,000 horses to a carriage and ride it to the moon? You can't do that. That's so dumb.
Well, not with that
attitude. I'm trying to think of other ones. I'm sure there's plenty. Think about it.
Oh, I mean, most British units, basically empirical units, including horsepower, I think fit in that.
Probably, yeah.
There's a unit of
the king's ton
of momentum called I think momentum or energy called the slug. Like no
yeah,
one, like
right.
I don't know if you use slugs in your industry, but
no,
it's dumb as hell. but for the most part,
do our listeners a favor, King Sean, and stop talking to the towel. You got kind of a Bane thing going on right now.
When you admit
you've asked me to think.
When you admit that it's an anachronism, you have my permission to die.
What were we talking about?
How hang up is not gonna...
No, before that. That's boring. I'm trying to think of an answer.
Awesome. Awesome Mix, Volume 1.
Oh, yeah,
awesome
we're talking about cassettes and how you're going back in time. I asked you if you go back in time and tell your cassette tape self that people are going to hate you too to the point where they don't want
to...
hate
you too.
Or, you know.
No. They put that shit on my phone.
See?
That's right. No, that's right. You put me off on a tangent by telling me about the devil. About my own children aren't going to know what the fuck I'm saying when I'm talking to them.
You're saying hang up the phone.
I'm sorry. It sent me down a path of like, well, if their entire life I'm repeating these words, hang up the phone, hang up the phone. They click that. That means hang up the phone. Then they're going to know this means hang up the phone.
Yeah, but they're going to know that you're the only person in their life that's saying that. Like, everybody their age doesn't say it. They'll say end the call. That's
not, no.
This is going to be
unless
like when you
every other old person is saying, hang up the phone.
This is
going
to be like when you tell you what your parents go and still go to a grocery store and pay with a check and you just want to kill them. Like you want to literally strangle the shit out of them. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, that's everyone. That's true.
For fuck's sake.
People still pay with checks?
Not people, old people.
For groceries with checks?
Oh,
but
God.
What would your verb be? End the call?
End the call. Well, number one, let's be honest here. Let's zoom
but
out a little
you
bit.
Say,
no one calls people at the, like, a 15-year-old, 15-year-olds don't call each other. They text. Let's start with that.
That's true.
They barely ever make a phone call. Yeah. So there's that on top of it. And I think that what they're going to say is end call, because that's what it says underneath the icon and a lot of the interfaces. It just says end call. It doesn't say hang up.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. Why would it say hang up? There's nothing to hang up.
Hang it up.
Hang up. Like, you're going to hang up your your slabbed screen on the wall.
Say hang it up. Fucker.
Like, what are you going to do?
I'm picturing
when, you know, elderly people get their giant phone when they hit that certain age, and you have big giant buttons on
it. It's an iPhone 6 Plus. They already
Exactly. That's what's going to be ours. It's going to have the giant buttons.
We'll be just talk to it. You don't have to dial anymore.
Yeah, that's coming. I mean, it's here. They just got to get it fixed now.
Google does it really well. For the most part. Google.
Oh.
Google Now works pretty well.
Okay, Glass.
That is a separate matter, but
yeah,
like enough. if you have an Android phone, you say, okay, Google, call whoever, Cyrus, it'll do it.
Yeah, and don't do that, listeners.
100% of the
time. I don't want to talk to you.
Like, it does it right almost.
I will totally end that call.
12 songs.
Yeah, how do you guys want to do this? We want to go one each.
I was going to ask you that question.
Or?
No, I think we need to hear the whole album.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay, in that case, who's the poor bastard who has to go first?
You.
All right, Cyrus is first.
That's fair. Okay. At number one, I have All the Things She Said by Tattoo.
What?
That's a joke.
I was going to say, holy God. I want to hear the justification for that song.
All right, now obviously we can't play songs on our podcast. But
no,
we're going to have to tally up the ones that, those of us have never heard what the fuck song it is.
I imagine you guys will know all these. No, the first one I actually have is I've Got the Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson.
All right.
I think that's a... I think he belongs on a list of classics.
Okay, so what was your logic on... putting together your list?
I did try to go with 70s and 80s. I've got, I think, at least one exception, and for sure.
What's the earliest song you have?
That would be one from the 60s, 68, okay. And we'll come to that momentarily.
All right. What's the latest song you have?
I believe that would be Journey's Don't
Stop.
Don't tell
me what song. Just like, how late is it? Like 2000 and...
No, 80s. I try.
Okay.
In order to try and make it easier, because you're right, it's a tough task. I tried to stick within that 70s, 80s parameter.
Okay.
And, you know, just... I also tried to keep them kind of feel good, because that was kind of what Guardians of the Galaxy appeared to be going for. So, no Johnny Cash.
I got a good take on that.
But,
that's
fair.
Go ahead.
So I had Michael Jackson, The Way You Make Me Feel. I also strongly considered blanking the name of it. Want to Be Starting Something. That's another really good one of his. But I went with my favorite. At number two, I came up with Steppenwolf's Magic Carpet Ride.
All right.
Really happy song. I think that would also, within the parameters of Guardians of the Galaxy, really fit. That is it's kind of spaceshipy.
Why number two?
Oh, this is just... spitballing.
There's no particular order.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that would make it a real bitch. I won't do that to you guys. Yeah.
Yes, it was a real bitch.
I think you may have overly constrained yourself.
Just wait till you get to me.
30
Go ahead.
Then my earliest one from 68, I've got the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil.
Is that on mine?
That's a good one.
It's not on mine now, but I had it on there.
But it was a contender?
It's definitely in my top 66.
I'm gonna pause. I want to know what was your initial list before you started making roster cuts.
No. We'll get to me later.
He started with his entire.
I'm looking for a number.
He started with his entire music collection.
Oh, okay. That's how you discovered the U2 thing was on there, didn't you?
What the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this? No.
New 2, how dare you?
Yeah, New 2.
Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song.
Okay.
I don't know that one.
Yes, you know that one.
I probably know it.
Have you seen any of the Destiny commercials, the live-action Destiny?
Nope. Have you listened to music ever?
That's where
you're I'm sure there's plenty of songs that I don't know the name to that are those. I just know it as soon as I hear the Okay, thank you. All right, thank you.
Aerosmith, Dream On. The original, not the one where after his voice changed from the cocaine and the hookah and all the shit.
Yeah.
The original awesome recording.
Okay.
Staying Alive, the Bee Gees.
Okay.
And I know exactly where I would use that. The sequence where he's dancing for Ronan the Accuser. The only way that would have been better is if he was doing it, getting his Vinnie Barbarino on. That would have been amazing. It was still good, but I would have preferred that. I think I just said it, but I'll mention it again. Don't Stop Believin', Journey.
Nice.
That's a good one.
So you could get your head away from that song being used by Bill Clinton in his celebratory being selected as president, and they totally did the dorky dance up on stage to that song with him and Hillary and his daughter and all that.
Oh,
that ruined it. Now, I'm not pro anti-Clinton. It was just so dorky, mm-hmm. a politician using that song, that it dorked up that song for me forever. To the point where I can't hear it and not think of that.
Follow up question. Did Reagan ruin Born in the USA for you on the same?
Did Reagan use Born in the USA? Yeah, did he dance to it?
No, he Reagan doesn't dance.
No, no, well, I'm just saying. Reagan they had this. They had this white overbite thing. And yes, I think that Born in the USA by The Boss would have been ruined had Nancy Reagan gotten up and, ooh, and done this. Yes, it would have ruined it for me. Absolutely. You painted a great picture now. You probably ruined Born in the USA for me forever just imagining that that happened.
I apologize.
All right. What's,
but not really.
Did you use Born in the USA?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay. You just pulled that one out of your ass. Okay.
Well, no, you mentioned politicians do this shit all the time.
Yeah, I just...
Obama wasn't going to use the humping dance, allegedly.
Bullshit.
I'm making that up. Wouldn't that have been amazing?
That would have been awesome!
Just like he had all the things he said.
Any president use a humping dance, please. I will
take
vote.
A chance.
You will get a second term election from me.
Shit!
The Keyshawn vote!
That's alright.
Damn it to hell.
I'll mark it. I know where to, like, put that. Alright. Where the hell? Oh, yes. Fortunate Son. I'm going to say this slowly so I say it right. Credence, Clearwater, Revival, CCR. Yeah. Go all the way. You'll like this one, Keyshawn. Super Freak, Rick James.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah. Needed some 70s funk. That was the best one I could come up with. Wait, is that 70s or 80s?
That is... Right at the very end of the 70s, I think.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Late 70s.
Okay.
James, bitch!
Oh, yeah, exactly. Under Pressure, Queen.
Okay.
No comment? No, nothing there?
There had to be some Queen.
I agree. I think so. This might be my... No, this is 70s, too, I think. Baba O'Reilly. Who?
Good choice.
Yeah, I think so. And then for our
damn, that'll...
Last, but
you have to hum that one for me because I'm not sure I know Baba O'Reilly.
Oh, it's because the name is obscure. It's Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Which what everyone calls it, except that's not his name. Last but not least, had to get some Phil Collins in there in the air tonight.
That's on my
that
list,
one.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff. I love me some Phil. And that's just such a classic song and so indicative of the decade, I think.
All right,
Ariel.
You won last episode.
You won, so you're called.
So you can defer, or you can elect to receive.
I don't care. I mean, I had a slightly different take on the way I chose my songs.
Okay.
I thought about a lot of different ways of going. So I thought about what I would do if I were in exactly Star Wars situation where my mom picked songs from her childhood.
Okay.
Like the Awesome Mix. I was like, I could do that, but I don't really like a lot of the songs from my parents' childhood. Disco, it'll all be disco for the most part. So that was not as attractive to me. And then I thought, what if I were who I am now, and I could only and I got launched into outer space. And
okay.
I had to remember Earth, my life on Earth. I had to pick 12 songs that I would...
That you want to take with
me. Would take with me that all would right. keep my memories of Earth alive, like of my life on Earth.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I went.
Okay.
So it's a little less classic in some ways.
Okay.
But in other ways, not. So some of this is a little bit weird. Some of these songs you guys probably never heard of, maybe one or two. So bear with me.
Okay.
But, because some of them are, but it's mostly more about my life. So, some cultural stuff in here. So, I grew up in Miami.
That's true.
Folks are Cuban. I'm Cuban American. My folks are from Cuba. I was born here. So I wanted something to remember that by. So there's this artist called Willie Chirino. You guys have probably never heard him. There's a song called Why Habitas de Pinar. It's like a very Cuban song. So I wanted something, my culture, gotcha, my background. Gotcha. That's number one. Thinking about high school, I listened to Nine Inch Nails a lot in high school.
Yeah, you did.
So The Fragile was like coming out like kind of towards my tail end of high school days, that album.
Okay.
So We're In This Together Now by Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
Pick that. It also could fit in certain space adventures. I also thought about space adventures and what kind of stuff I'd be getting in. So there's some stuff in here that's good for fight scenes, good for a love song, good for romance scenes, that kind of stuff.
That was
that's
definitely kind of in my head as
mixed
well.
In to there is like not just about me, but also like what fits in a space adventure Star-Lord lifestyle. So anyway, but high school though, We're In This Together Now. College, two songs, Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand.
And I'm blanking on that one. Which one is it?
That's the one that everybody knows is Franz Ferdinand's song.
See, I know The Walker. Shit.
We can play it later. And Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk. Because I worked so many fucking hours on Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. It also works as a good montage song. So if you wanted to build stuff or train for something or work on a salmon ladder.
But didn't want to play the Rocky song, for example.
Yeah. So there's that. Another song that could fit in a lot of different ways. This is actually the oldest song in my list from the 1700s, technically, but performed by Itzhak Perlman more recently. It's from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Summer, the Presto.
Oh, okay.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Could fit for a fight scene, could fit for a space battle, could fit for some comedic thing where you're running through some chaotic... It has a lot of uses. So that's on the list. I practice Kung Fu, so I have to have a Kung Fu song in there somewhere. So A Man Ought to Be Strong.
Kung Fu fighting.
That's where my mind went.
That's not quite Kung Fu.
America just went there and you take them somewhere else.
From the Once Upon a Time in China soundtrack to the song called A Man Ought to Be Strong. That's a Kung Fu song.
I like the title.
It's also like sometimes called the Wong Fei Hung theme. So
okay.
If I played it, I bet Cyrus would probably recognize it if you watch Kung Fu movies. I like anime, so Tank by Yoko Kano from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh,
gotta
yes.
have that in there. That's also Space Adventures, people.
Song, yeah.
Love song. I drifted through a lot of different
Tesla?
Love song?
Yeah.
Tesla?
Isn't that the name of their
I'm so lost.
Huh?
There's a band called Tesla.
Yeah.
They have a song called Love Song.
I'm talking about, I'm trying to choose a love song.
Oh, I thought you were saying Love Song was the song you picked. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Picking a love song, kind of hard because I don't like sappy stuff too much. So I went with I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, okay. I do know that one.
In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins because it's fucking Phil Collins.
It's a great song.
And also I grew up in the 80s.
In Miami,
yeah. So you can imagine driving a Ferrari with my white suit.
Hang on, I need to imagine
it. It can't be that hard.
Oh, but it's so good.
One more song for fighting. That's Spy Break, the short one by the Propeller Heads. That's basically the song that they use in the lobby scene of The Matrix.
Oh, okay.
That's good for fighting.
Yeah,
and you're gonna fight in space. Then the last couple are just really cool, so I put them in. Ready, Steady, Go by Larkin Seal. It's a good kind of upbeat song. Get you going.
Okay.
And then Hold the Line by Toto, because fuck yes.
Okay.
Those are my 12.
We're going to have to email these to each other. So
sure. Yeah.
I think I knew one of the songs.
About half of them. I did okay.
What can I say? That's me. That's kind of what I would.
Ready, Set, Go. That sounds familiar.
Ready, Steady, Go is actually one of the opening themes for Full Metal Alchemist, the original Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Japanese. So I guess I have a Spanish song, a Chinese song, and a song in Japanese, and then the rest are in English.
You brought all of Earth. It was.
it's kind of my influences, I guess.
Yeah. Well done.
All right. Key.
So I started doing my homework and found an article.
I want the original fucking list. I want the number.
I get this impression. Oh, okay. I get this impression that this was like hours
I must have spent 6 hours on this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
For real.
Like, 12 minutes at work.
When I sent that text, I was on hour
I'm a professional,
four.
People. What can I say?
When I sent the text to you about using the word self-flagellation, that's my operative term for this. Because my first cut was 132 songs.
Bitch.
That was going through all of my songs.
Look, I got to say, the towel that you're wearing right now adds a certain je ne sais quoi to this whole
that's
experience.
Right. It's keeping my head cool.
It's like half flying nun, half Zeebo. I don't.
He's just got a towel on his head, folks. Yeah. I don't know.
That's racist.
No, I don't mean it that way.
It's literal.
So my first cut was 132. My second cut was six. Got it down to 66.
That was the third preseason game.
Yeah, then I got it down to 32. And when I got it to around 50 or so, I was like, okay, this is so much work. But I like so much of what I'm putting together that I made my super list for my phone so I can listen to this all the time. And then I was I'll percolate up to the top 12. So I've got this giant playlist. That's what I've been doing. Even, driving over here, I'm sitting in the parking lot going, okay, is this the one I want? Is this it? All right, I'm good.
No, not YouTube. Son of a bitch.
YouTube? Get out of there! Get out!
Number one, YouTube, track one from.
So at Mysterious Ways.
Mysterious Ways.
Yeah, at
is
first.
Mysterious Ways on there?
No, it was. Oh. Well, actually, it's not. It's farther it's, down, yes.
Oh, okay.
It is in the 66.
Oh, but not the 12. The top
it didn't
12.
Make it the 12, no. But my first pass was kind of like, all right.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, my first pass was kind of, all right, there are key songs from me through my entire life, were like, okay, that represents here, that represents here, that represents here, this song, that song, and I could pick them all out. I had the 1812 Overture in it at one point. And,
nice.
Oh, man, Brown Eyed Girl, Life is a Highway, the old Tom Cochran one.
Okay. Oh, I know.
Not that Cars shit. it's on the movie Cars and somebody else sang it.
Okay.
And,
right here, right now, I assume.
Oh, no, God. No, that's on the list. But it didn't make my final. All of these were, like, elemental. And then, so I had that, and I had it. But, again, there were too many that were recent since this was my life. And I was like, well, no, I want more of that feel of what that Guardians thing. So then I started doing homework. So then I got on and found this great article on...
the list went back up to 700.
It did. It went up. But Comic Book Resources. And there, it talked about how they actually started when he got a script. And who was the script writer? Gunn. Yeah. James Gunn.
Yeah,
James Gunn. Yeah, right. When he got there was a script for his script. And he didn't like it. And basically scrapped the whole thing and started anew.
Hmm.
And if you remember back far enough, there was a rumor mill thing about that, and everybody was hooing and hawing over how Guardians was going to suck. They've had to restart, and all that stuff.
Hey, isn't that funny how that mirrors Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Right.
Which I suspect is going
to
be awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
But he had a set of songs that he had kind of picked to be the backbone for the script.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And then actually,
he started with the soundtrack. In other words,
well, he started with the soundtrack to tell the story, and then, from what I understand from the interview, I don't want to read it here, but go to comicbookresources.com, you can find it. What he did was then he found a way of actually getting the soundtrack to be part of the story, because the what he calls the MacGuffin of the whole thing was the ball with the power source in it.
Yeah.
Anybody know which? It was purple, right?
Yeah.
The purple, it's Infinity Gem, right?
Yeah.
And I can't remember which, it's Power, right?
They had never confirmed
it. I get all screwed up.
They confirmed, all I know for sure is they said that the Tesseract is the Space Gem, and actually the Power Gem is the ether from Thor 2.
That's what I thought from the comics, because red is the Power Gem in the comics.
Well, there was some interview where they confirmed two of them.
Purple's not reality. I don't remember. Anyway, the purple. Yeah. Well, the MacGuffin was that thing.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, that MacGuffin, on the emotional side of the script, would be a Walkman. And that's how he was like, okay, I can work the soundtrack into the part of the story. And cool. So then I was like, okay, so he actually had a soundtrack that went through. So what I did is I looked at all the songs, and you had a certain feel to it. I went and I looked at all the beats per minute, and sure enough, the beats per minute of the soundtrack kind of tracks the story of the movie.
Oh.
And so it starts off with kind of that cool, the cool music up front, you know, with Huga Chaka and all that stuff. And those are around 110, 120 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to kind of the lovey stuff, slows down a little bit, and you got a slow song, about 70 beats per minute, and then you got a happy love song that jumps up to 120, then a couple of more slower songs again,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got Cherry Bomb, which is kind of like, all right, that's the, and he talks about it in the interview here, that he worked that in there. That's kind of the point where they're like Ocean's 11-ing it, you know, where they're planning and all that stuff, and they're, all right, now we're going to implement the plan, so they use the pulp rock kind of thing. For the Cherry Bomb, and that ramps up the speed, and then the speed kind of ramps up towards the end, and at the very end, then you have the happy song that's slowing you. And so it actually, if you're diagramming out the script, it tracks right along with the script. And so I was like, okay.
It's like Wuthering Heights. I got
right,
it.
Right, right. So I was like, okay. So if it were mine.
We still haven't heard the 12 songs.
No. So if it were, we gotta get the background. You know, let's get some color here. I can just list 12 songs. We'd be done in 10 seconds. I'm gonna put some flavor
this is good stuff.
Into it. Sure, and so, sure.
Just saying, it's been a few minutes.
6 hours? I'm giving this motherfucker some breathing room.
No, listen, I'm
take your time.
Because I'm in a rush. When I read all this, was this afternoon, and I went, shit, everything I put together has got to go out the door.
Now you just,
yes. Wow. And so this afternoon, I started anew. I'm like, okay, I've got all the, now, I didn't start from scratch, but I did have to go back through and kind of, okay, which ones are the ones that are going to live and which ones are going to die? And so this time I was like, okay, so I'm going to tell a story that would kind of trace that. And try and get the same flavor to it, but the ones that I would like, you know, or story that I would like, or that's more relevant to me. And so I started off with where anybody my age is, where they're just looking around and go, what the hell has happened? And so my first song is Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads.
Okay.
Where it's just, this is not my beautiful song. Car. Yeah. This is not my beautiful wife. This is not my beautiful house. What has happened? That's a good starting point. And
all right.
You know, just like Huga Chaka. Sure. You're setting the tone. What the hell has happened to me?
I wish I could come up with a reason to put that on my list.
Right. You will. Just give it like 5-6 years. What the hell has happened to me? This is not my car. What happened? So next song. There you go.
But it wasn't a rock.
Next song.
New album from U2.
Next song. Old Man Wondering What the Hell's Happened. So Bruce Springsteen's Glory Days. I got that one.
In spite of Reagan.
No. This isn't Born in the USA. It's Glory Days. Okay. Reagan, this is more close to baseball than anything else. Then kind of hearkening back to my younger days. And I should say my range of songs goes everywhere from 1967 up to 2006.
Okay.
And I'd love for you to try and pick out which one of the ones from 2006, because when I was looking at this, I couldn't believe that was the one. So anyway, next song is A Little Respect by Erasure.
I did consider Erasure myself.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Then, let's see. Then you got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was trying to portray was kind of like, you know, okay, what's the most saddest, loneliest thing? This is that time of my life when I was over in East Texas. Not growing up, but when I got ended back there for a year, it was my year of penitence. My year of penitence there. And so I was like, I need to find, still have that mood to it. You got to find that mood to it. It's got to have the right pace, right?
Is it just the sound of gunfire? Is this Texas?
No. So I picked A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum. That is one. It's got that same.
Do not know this song.
Really?
Sorry.
We'll play it.
At least not by the name, but
okay. Whiter Shade of Pale. Okay. Again, you hear it, you'll know it. And but it is just one of those ones you just hear and you're just like, oh man, there's some sadness here.
I thought it was going to be Longview by Green Day. I thought that's where you're going with that. You pulled the rug out from
Green Day. No.
So damn bored.
Yep. And again, I was going to die alone over there. And so the next song was The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King. Because again, I'm trying to keep that era and that feel.
B.B.'s a good
That
pick.
Feel and that rate, mm-hmm. too, you mm-hmm. know? Then things were just dark. just bad place. And so I got Cruel Summer by Bananarama.
Nice.
Because, yeah, that kind of, that era, that when that song hit, the first, I think when I first heard that song was in Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
And
really? It was in Karate Kid?
Oh, yeah. That's pre-date, right?
It's that soccer match.
Yeah, yeah.
When he gets in a fight with Johnny. Uh-huh. I know way too much about the Karate Kid.
Yeah. It was on last week. I watched it. I couldn't stop myself. I was like, my children are old enough to see this. We're watching Karate Kid. Safe. Okay, let's see.
Give him a body bag, Johnny.
Right. Oh, God damn it.
next song. Now, this is the part, just like in the soundtrack, because they start getting love songs. Mm-hmm. There's lots of songs that mention love towards the second half. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I got to do that, except for Cherry Bomb. So I picked a song by Al Green called, it's a cover for I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but Al Green doing it. Okay. Because the style is just Al Green. Then need a super love song at this point in the soundtrack. And the super love song is When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge. None of that Michael Bolton bullshit. This is old school Percy Sledge. So it's the funk. Okay.
Uh-huh. Not Brick House.
So, yeah, not Brick House. But we have moved into that area of funk. And it moves there too, funk. But your beats are starting to pick up. So the next song I picked was Soul Man by Sam and Dave. Now you probably remember think of the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was Soul Man.
Yeah.
That one. Uh-huh. But the original.
The original.
Yeah, because the Blues Brothers were covering it. But since we went there, since I went to the Blues Brothers, then the next one, because now I go back to a love thing. So this one is an actual Blues Brothers song. It's called Everybody Needs Somebody. That's cover too. Mm-hmm. I think of Sam and Dave again. So I did Everybody Needs Somebody, and that's the one at the end of the movie when they're, you know, got the whole band playing behind them, and they're like talking to the crowd and singing all that stuff, and they go nuts. That's that song at the end of that movie. So we're picking up the speed a bit, but still kind of, you know, got the funk level. And then you're getting towards the end, and you need that happy feely, you know, everyone's happy, everybody loves everybody, that kind of thing. Of course, the Ghostbusters.
Of course, the ghost. Hold on. That segue has to be the title of the episode. Of course, the Ghostbusters.
That's right. Because when the Ghostbusters needed to make that slime move the entire Statue of Liberty, when they needed to move the Statue of Liberty, they needed a song that everybody would love. And they got all of New York singing it to move the Statue of Liberty. And so I did Higher and Higher by Jackie Wilson. Your Love?
So not Shiny Happy People by R.E.M.
Again, I'm trying to get in that era, you know. And the Beats Per Minute was right. So it all fit in. And then the end is you need something when you go to the credits that, like, summarizes the whole thing. Slow Again. Because
you need your baby tree be able to dance to it, too. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have my tree dance to it. I didn't do that. No. For me, it was something to summarize. The last song, soundtrack.
The if you download the soundtrack, it's
right.
The songs are not in the order that they are in the film.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So I was doing it in the order of the soundtrack. And so they use the Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye. You know, that's their feely song.
Yeah.
So me, I picked one by Johnny Cash.
Oh, sweet irony.
Memories Are Made of This, which is a cover of an old song. But it's all about Like,
who is older than Johnny Cash? It's like freaking Johann Sebastian Bach.
Dean Martin. Okay. It's a Dean Martin song, and Johnny Cash.
That much older than Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Well, get this. That Johnny Cash song is the one from 2006.
Oh, okay.
That's the most recent one I have, is one by Johnny Cash. And I couldn't believe that, because I thought...
Yeah, I was about ready to ask you, like, so which one's the one?
Yeah, it was that one. And it's kind of one of those touchy-feely songs that kind of tells a whole story unto itself, you know, about kind of relationships, how they go across the years, like that. Cool. And that's the last one.
Cool.
So why that not say El Paso?
El Paso? I don't even know the song El Paso.
The one about the girl from El Paso.
Out in the West Texas, girl. Town of El Paso, that one? Mm-hmm. I've never been to El Paso.
Well, you asked a stupid question. Okay.
You know, one nit I want to pick about
the... Who is that artist, by the way, before...
Which artist? With
El Paso.
But what, like, out in the West Texas? That's,
I don't know.
No, that's...
That's old.
The Singing Cowboy. What's his name?
Singing Cowboy?
Yeah.
Gotta be honest here.
Happy trails
foolish,
to you.
But I thought it was Johnny Cash.
No, I don't think so.
It's not, but, you know.
No, that's not. That's...
Well, Key looks that up.
Yes.
A nit to pick about the album release called Awesome Mix Volume 1. Mm-hmm. It has Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Yes.
That is technically from Awesome Mix Volume 2 at the end of the movie.
Oh, shit.
That's true.
Oh, it went on his mix?
It's on his second
one.
It's on the second
one.
Oh!
Because it plays at the end when he discovers that the gift that his mom gave him, spoilers, is Volume 2 of Awesome Mix.
Marty Robbins.
That's okay.
Yes.
El Paso. Hey, you're the one that pulled that out of your ass. I'm just telling you where you can stick it back.
Well, there wasn't a scene.
What about El Paso?
What?
It just... Well, your reasoning reminded me of that song, because it does tell a story.
Oh, yeah. No, mine... I think the thing that kicked it for me was when... it talks about, like, you meet a girl, the very first parts of meeting a girl... It gets more and more serious. Eventually, it's like you have three kids and settle down. And that, for me, just fits. all of it fits. So that one's like, okay, I've got to put
that
in.
Not very Star-Lordy, though.
No, it's more like at the end of the credits, you need
like
to have
Star
something.
Star Ranger. Yeah. Texas Ranger.
Yeah. But again, that was the one that was more me than...
The
Star-Lordy one I was going to put in there that I kicked out for that song... was Now That We Found Love by Heavy D and the Boys.
Oh! Actually, man, that would be an interesting one to have in a space opera.
The other list that I had was the ones of, like, all the good ones of, like, this one's tied to something. This was Now That We Found Love, Sabotage, Panama, Stuck in the Middle with You, Hard to Handle, Hey Ya by Andre 3000.
Hard to Handle, yes.
Hard to Handle, All Right Now. By Free, Long Tall Sally by Little Richard. That was going to be my fast one. Because, tell me, I mean, y'all know exactly why I'm putting that in there.
Come on.
You don't remember in Predator when they're in the start of the movie?
Where are we going with this?
In the very beginning of the movie. Like, all right. First,
of course,
all
the Ghostbusters.
Setup, then they get in the chopper and they're heading out, and it's like badassery is about to commence.
And
what's his name?
I don't
think
I've ever seen the opening of Predator.
Well, it's not the opening. You got the whole Carl Weathers, all that stuff. You know, America. You know what I did with Ariel right there? that old arm bar lock thing, whatever.
Where you show them by the guns.
Yeah, exactly. But it's right after that. It was like, okay, let's ship out. It's when they're shipping out, and Jesse Ventura's got Long Tall Sally's plan. It's like, oh shit.
They're going to the
badasses.
Here we go.
These badasses are about to go into the dark, and they're like, well, "I'm gonna listen to Long Tall Sally." Some shit is about to start, and so that was why I had Long Tall Sally there. And then Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Oh, that song.
Life is a Highway, Lust for Life by Iggy Pop, Kiss by Tom Jones.
Okay. That almost kind of fits in the in the existing.
It does. Yeah. All of these were in there at some point.
Heavy D and the Boys song. I can see Chris Pratt getting down to that.
Oh shit! In like a sequel.
Ah, yeah. Somehow, I don't know. When you said that, somehow that just very much clicked for me.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Show Me How to Live, Audio Slave.
I so desperately was trying to voice the end of this list, and I just couldn't find a room.
It was too recent. It was the only problem. Yeah,
their stuff is very dark and gritty, as the time was.
Yeah. Twist and Shout by the Beatles, Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, and 1812 Overture.
I did consider November Rain.
I did too. I did too.
The greatest video epic of all time.
Oh, that's still
people were burying models, Ariel.
It was amazing. Best hairband songs of all. I think it's one of the best.
That's why when we Don't Stop Believing, I think that was more indicative and happier. But
yeah, and better than November Rain.
That's a finger I'm giving Ariel there.
No,
Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Sure,
that one featuring Pharrell. That is the. It's spot on the right beats per minute for what they got.
Really?
It fits. It's like too recent. It was too
better,
recent.
Harder, stronger, or whatever.
Harder,
that,
stronger.
Yeah, or whatever the actual words are. I don't know lyrics. What do you want? But yeah.
Chain of Fools by Aretha Franklin. Tennessee by Arrested Development.
We're in volume 3 at this point, right?
Yeah, we are.
Keyshawn.
I'm skipping over many. Epic by Faith No More.
Nothing
but a G thing.
I've got a couple of my
I'm coming.
Some of my other ones that I got a few of my cuts were I had La Bamba, Richie Valens.
Oh, I was close. Okay. I had El Mariachi.
Oh, from Los Olos?
Yes.
That's a great song too. I had the ultimate song, Boston's More Than a Feeling.
I considered that one as well.
Yeah, and I realized, I was like, nah, I'm just putting that in there because I love Aguatine. That's not a good enough reason. And then my last cut was I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor.
Okay.
Yeah, that was there.
Yeah, that was right era. But I was like, that's been kind of done to death, so that's my point.
Yeah. Well, I know, and that was my problem, was that Now That We Found Love was the happy fun song at the end of Hitch when they're dancing down the
lake. Yeah,
The other one was Build Me Up Buttercup. That was the happy fun song at the end of Something About Mary.
Yeah, Something About Mary.
So I was like, shit, I'm just pilfering those because they fit. And I'm like, no, I gotta
pick they're really good choices.
I know. But again, had to be awesome mix. And I was like, son of a bitch, those are great choices, but I'm casting them aside. I pick one that's more relevant to me. So, That's why I went full on Ghostbusters and then the other one. Damn it, America knows exactly what
course,
I'm talking about.
Of course, the Ghostbusters. That segue was just holy cow.
The Joker by the Steve Miller Band, another one that fits that feeling. You could almost make a whole thing of just the ones that fit that feeling. Eastbound and Down by Jerry Reed.
I'm not sure I know that.
Oh come on, yeah you do. Smokey and the Bandit. Bound, 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 eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We gonna do what they said can't be done.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go. I'm gonna keep on singing this song. I'm eastbound, just watch a bandit run. Put your foot on the pedal. So never mind that break. I'm gonna keep on going under. I don't care what it takes.
Now, would it help if I told you I knew the song?
Say it! Say it! Zeebo!
Zeebo.
In the sound, Zeebo!
That's worse than even trying to make me sing Lord during the fucking podcast. The dreaded Son of Mud episode.
Sweet Caroline. That was another one.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll work.
It'd be fun to make like a post 2000 one. That's a whole other story. Because I was all over the place. I had a bunch that were like spanning a long time. I ended up going, no, I'd rather do one that kind of fits that same feel as what they got with the 70s and 80s stuff. I don't know how much of it was 70s and 80s and how much of it is just the right order with the right stuff. But you can see entirely the script they're going for.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're doing that.
For sure.
It sure as hell explains that why right smack in the middle you've got the fast one with Jackson 5 and it slows back down. Because, well, no, they used that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That was the list. Now what you got to do is take everybody's
and post it next to the podcast.
Oh.
So they can click on YouTube and go to watch them.
Put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Sounds good.
I already made mine. I'll
send it to you. You already made yours?
Yeah.
Or do you have all the
Actually,
links?
No. Mine's already dated. Mine's already dated because I made the list right before I left. Then I changed my list in the car before I came inside.
So, wow. Okay.
There's a lot of thought to this, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There was a hole.
That's appreciated, I think. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Ghostbusters.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course.
When one considers our friend, Dr. Peter Bateman, the way it becomes clear.
It's true. That's what they went with. Like, what song would make the world sing?
This makes me think about
Proof
the sequel.
The
That's on my list. I skipped over.
Of course it is.
Every time I got a new car, until the last car, I don't know, remember if I did it or not. But every new car I would get, the first song I would play in any stereo when I'd get a new car is Grooves in the Heart.
Wow.
Why that one?
I don't know. It started when I was like 16. Like, I would put Grooves in the Heart. And then, next car, hey, I did it last time, I'll do it this time. If there was a rationale to it, that rationale died long ago. That brain cell's been...
I'm embarrassed to admit, at one point I did consider it going to make you sweat.
Really?
By CNC Music Factory.
That was one that didn't make my list. None of your songs, I don't know them at all. That's why I'm asking for the show notes. I'm going to go listen to all these.
Sure.
Yeah, just email me.
This is my friend. This is my friend Ariel. in audible form.
Well, to some extent, anyway.
It's Ariel the Musical, so I was going to give it.
Exactly. God, that'd be a fun one.
So Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
All right.
Feel free to use all these.
Any thoughts on what the story might be? Where they're going to go?
Infinity Gauntlet.
I think that's Avengers 3, frankly.
I don't know. I heard a rumor that Avengers 3 is going to be Civil War.
Civil War?
Mm-hmm. Which surprised me, because I've been thinking they've been heading towards the Infinity Gauntlet 2.
Yeah.
How the hell would that be
Civil
War?
I don't know.
I can barely tell a story that I already came up with.
Civil War's opening is really dark.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it would get... Well, yes, I know. Dark things
are wonderful.
Marvel Studios does not appear to agree with you, though.
Isn't that the whole thing?
Winter Soldier was dark.
Yeah.
It was their darkest, I would say.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
It wasn't even as scary as Man of Steel, though, frankly. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing I was going to say. Like, apparently, like, this was rumored in the press recently that DC's directive to all their creative people working on their movies was like, cut down the jokes. We don't want a lot of jokes. We want these movies to be serious. I'm like, holy crap, dude. Did you see Man of Steel? Like... I think you need some levity. Like they want to do the opposite of where Marvel is going, where you know for the most
success.
Yeah. Well,
get that out of there.
Back to our original theme of like every podcast,
we can't escape it.
We can't escape it. But I wonder where Guardians 2 is going to go. I mean, I guess James Gunn said he wants to explore more character, add some more characters, and kind of reveal a little bit more about Peter's Star Wars dad. And that sort of thing.
I'd heard. Yeah, his parents.
I guess that will be something. But I don't know. They could go a lot of different ways, and I don't think there's enough stuff in there to put together a cosmic thing like Annihilation or something. I think it's too soon for that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It should be interesting. Just wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that. Can't use Silver Surfer. Can't use Galactus. Can't use anything else.
Well,
like
to be fair, Fox is not using those things.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm just using the name.
God, it'd be great if Disney just bought the rights back from Fox.
I know. The one I want them to get back desperately is X-Men.
Yeah.
Because Days of Future Past, while I did like it, was not anywhere near as badass as it should have been.
Agreed.
I liked it.
You know, I've been saving this topic for a podcast, and now we're here. did you guys read Bryan Singer's kind of exit whining about the reception for that film?
No.
Mm-hmm. He was, I wish I'd remembered to cue this up. He was bitching about Because I guess it only did okay.
Man, I thought it was hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, but I think right now, for a superhero film, that's only okay, based on
Marvel's takes. Yeah, well, it's not, Guardians or Captain America, both are headed toward $1 billion.
Yeah, it didn't break a record, for example.
How much of that is Guardians being good, and how much of that is there's nothing else?
It was a bad summer. I didn't think
Guardians was that great.
I didn't either. I liked it, but...
Yeah.
It's grown on me. I've liked it more, thought about it than when I was watching it. But now I'd probably watch it and have more fun watching it the second time through, knowing what to look for. It's more fun.
Yeah. I mean, I quite liked it. I saw it twice in the same weekend. But
oh, wow.
I like Captain America 2 better.
Oh, more. God, yes.
That was phenomenal. But anyway, he was complaining that he was like, his gripe was that he didn't have, he specifically said, I did not have Robert Downey Jr., you know, I don't have what Marvel has. You know, I don't have Iron
You're
Man.
Fucking
I don't have
Hugh Robert Jackman. Manchin. He's Hugh Jackman.
That was my, and I got kind of angry about it. On on behalf of Jennifer Lawrence,
and come
Sir
on.
Ian McKellen, and Sir Patrick Stewart, and Michael fucking Fassbender.
Yeah, give me a freaking break. Yeah. Talent is not the problem.
No.
Acting talent is not the problem.
And if I'm then, I'm like, well, fuck you, you cocaine boy raping asshole. What the hell? You wrote the piece of shit. Right. We have two nights, two Oscar winners. What the hell more do you want?
Yeah, like that's...
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And by the way, a little bit of...
He wants Bishop. I need more mullet.
It's also revisionist history. Iron Man, I mean, I know, at 2008 was a gamble.
Yeah.
It was a B character at best. Robert Downey Jr.'s career was in the toilet again.
Yeah. They had basically no script. John Favreau just came in to direct it because they had to get someone in there.
Yeah.
They ad-libbed a lot of the lines.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it worked.
It worked.
But it was not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
It was a gamble.
Yeah. Guardians, frankly, is the same
first movie for Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Fuck him. Yeah. I guess that's my thesis.
Guardians was the same way, too. Guardians
fuck
was a
Brian
huge...
Singer.
Guardians was a huge gamble. They're getting a director who'd worked on smaller budget pictures, a big canvas to work with. They nailed it, but again, no guarantee there. Mm-hmm. Like
that was just such a whiny shit way of passing the buck. It's like, no, you failed. This was not not lack of budget nor lack of talent. You just didn't write a very good film.
Yeah.
The hell.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I don't think it was bad.
It fixed the turdinkus that was
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand.
Everyone keeps saying that, but with respect, I need more than that. Than a good retcon to make a movie that I would think is really good.
I don't know.
I hated The Last Stand. As an X-Men junkie forever, The Last Stand was so horrible. It tainted the next four movies for me. And if this thing made it to where that never happened, and then we never tell another X-Men story again with Bryan Singer, we just start anew with something else... I'm totally fine.
I think he's attached to Apocalypse.
Yeah, he is. He's directing it or something.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. They should give it back to Marvel and then have Joss Whedon direct a version of his Astonishing X-Men.
Well, wait a minute. If Bryan Singer is attached to Apocalypse, when's that going to happen? And what I mean by that is, like, is the Apocalypse going to be set? Are they going to be hopping back in time again?
No, my understanding is it's going to be that new young cast, and it's kind of a 1980s.
But how? Oh, so they're setting it in the '80s,
something like that. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah, they're building they're sticking with that timeline.
Yeah, they're losing the previous cast, like the Patrick Stewarts and the Ian McKellens.
That's now the near future, quote unquote.
And they're
mostly
because
Ian's about to die.
Yeah,
he does not look well to me.
They're using I think they're done. They've had their run, and they're using the first class cast from now on.
But how can you do that if they showed in this movie that all those guys are there at school now?
Because to use a Spaceballs reference, we're at now.
Yeah.
So that will always be now?
No, that will always be about to happen. That's the near future.
It's a sliding time scale. It's the same that they use in the comics. It's the sliding time scale.
But
Keyshawn is just silent and enraged.
Is the devil?
The devil.
So
that's not even now. Then it's future now.
They should give it back. Marvel should buy it back, and they should just do Astonishing X-Men.
Well, fuck yes, of course.
Joss Whedon already wrote that script.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot again. Cast that movie for me right now.
What? What?
Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Nailed it.
Just drop the mic and walk
it's
out.
It's got to be unknowns. To me, frankly, it has to be all unknowns. Like, I wouldn't even be good at that. Like, no. I think for the vast majority of them, you have to make them unknown. You absolutely have to make them unknown. Or at least barely known. Like,
that's fair.
There's a certain level of fame that there's like a good maximum level of fame that's just below what Robert Downey Jr. is now. You know, what Scarlett Johansson is now. You know, you have to go below that. Like, I think Chris Evans, for all the genre work that he's done, he wasn't like this superstar actor. And the same for Chris Hemsworth, I think.
Those were star-making roles.
Those are star-making roles. You need to get people who are ready for that and put them in those roles.
Yeah.
As Cyclops, as Wolverine, as Colossus, as Kitty Pryde. Big factor in that Astonishing X-Men story. I think those, and Emma Frost, like, those were...
I'm ready for a good White Queen.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Quit teasing me with January Jones.
If you let Joss Whedon run it, he's going to pick good people who can act those characters.
Well, won't it just be Nathan Fillion as Cyclops? And Sarah Michelle Gellar as Kate Bryan?
I doubt it, but those folks are getting long in the tooth.
And Elijah Dushku as the White Queen, which I can see, actually.
Put Amy Acker or something. I think that...
I'm sorry, Jones, but you need a branch out.
you get some unknowns in there, and you can make it happen. I think that's a good break from the previous X-Men. If you get none of those actors in for the role, and just have
Ariana Grande as Shadowcat.
Who? Is that Valerio Shitty's?
Ariana Grande.
From what
Grande? Like big?
She was in movies like Snowflake and The White Gorilla.
How did you choose her?
I asked the internet to give me a list of all the young actresses. And then I started looking at pictures.
Oh, God. Cops are going to burst into the studio.
I started looking at pictures to say,
which one could pull off...
No one will hear from us after this podcast.
Which one could pull off Kitty Pryde? Because you got to nail that one with a good actress for Joss Whedon's...
They have to be virtually unknown, and I'm not sure. I think that's the philosophy that has to go behind it, because you're going to reboot things.
That's true.
So you have to kind of... But don't do an origin story.
To be fair, the first X-Men film was like that outside of Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. But don't tell an origin story. Like, the first X-Men film kind of had somewhat of an origin story that kind of sets up the thing. Don't even.
I think
just
that
jump right
I
in.
I think that one still holds up really well.
Yeah, it does. I mean...
I've grown less enchanted with X2 over the years, mostly because Brian Cox is just hamming it through the whole damn film. I was like, I missed you when you were, you know, my Uncle Argyle. This is not doing it for me. Yeah, that and, God, he's terrible as Agamemnon in Troy.
Too. Oh.
I don't know why I'm bitching about Brian Cox. I think he's kind of hanging up on this podcast.
He was a villain in the Bourne series. He was a villain in the first couple
Yes,
of
and terrible
in
that too. What the fuck, man?
I don't know. He's a particular type
Him
of...
Him and Orlando Bloom, Captain Overacting.
You know that he never talks to Frodo but once in the movie, and it's when he says, in my bow.
Really? He never talks to Frodo?
Watch the
Did
entire...
Did your dad tell you
the Fellowship
this?
Of the Ring.
Watch
when the
entire
Fellowship at the very beginning.
And my bow.
And that's it?
He never directly addresses Frodo. In the entire trilogy, except for that line.
Thank you, not to go watch 12 hours of Lord of the Rings.
The secret hate of Legolas toward Frodo.
Yeah, even when Frodo wakes up in the bed at the end, spoilers, that
Legolas is
coming to us.
Legolas is a racist. He's talking shit about dwarves the whole time, too. Fucking hell, power motherfucker.
He did love Freckles.
Freckles?
Yeah. Freckles from... Lost.
I think you mean Lily Van Dyne.
Yes, Freckles.
Or whatever the hell they're actually calling
her. I only call her Freckles. She has no other
I thought
guy.
That was a joke the longest Lily? Time. I thought I was like, shouldn't have Freckles. Are you kidding? Because I didn't watch Lost when it first came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't get until season 2.
Oh.
I was like, why is he calling her Freckles? Shouldn't have Freckles. She has like a freckle. And he was a dick, right?
You can't call her freckle. Making it up. Yeah.
No, that would be crazy.
That'd be totally obscene. That's the devil.
Hang up.
Hey, freckle. What's that? It's a pimple.
Jesus.
Well, you don't call a girl you want to sleep with pimple. I'm throwing that out there as a life lesson.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a freebie.
Yeah. Life hacks.
Oh, somebody's
also there. Don't punch her in an elevator. That's not good.
Not even, no. Yeah.
And if you're Adrian Peterson, don't beat the hell out of your kid. Also not good.
Don't put your hamster in a microwave. Don't eat worms.
I think Patton Oswalt or something say something about like cannibals of the NFL. Feel free to stand up and be counted now, because most people are probably going to go, could be worse.
did you see what I tweeted today? There's a page that has a database.
Oh, yes.
All the NFL crimes. And it's like, it break it down like eight different ways.
That made me sad. I stopped reading it.
Wow. Wow. Hey, I was pretty happy. The Cowboys were remarkably low.
But not zero.
Oh, there's no team that's zero.
Right.
There is no team. Right.
Well, there was a novel written about our 90s
movie. I was surprised at how low the Cowboys were.
This must be recent, because I did the math once. 8 of our 11 offensive starters were on drugs in the 90s.
Yeah, they're probably all on there. I'm just saying, the other teams have well surpassed them. And yeah, I've only really ever focused on the Cowboys. I know just generally the big ones, you know. Yeah. Somebody's murdered somebody. It usually, the trick is, it only starts from, I think, 90. Or 90, some year. Because otherwise you could cast it back and then you get OJ, and that ought to count like 20.
that is true.
It's so bad. I have such a horrible question to ask, but would OJ count as two? Is it two violent crimes, or is it just one person?
What?
Okay, OJ killed two people.
So it's two counts.
So in their database, is that two, or is it just OJ?
I believe it's one double homicide.
No,
but one person committing the crimes, is that, like, how do you categorize?
How do they categorize?
One player that committed one or more crimes?
It's so bad
or
that
do they count
really
per crime? Do they break it out per crime?
Right.
Like, do you double count OJ? Is it two times OJ?
Right, exactly.
Or is he just kind of one time?
Like, he killed two people. You know, let's say he killed 20.
You know what? One thing I do like is that we're saying he killed two people even though he was acquitted.
Hey, look.
In a court of law.
Yeah, oh, please. That son of a bitch killed two people. And they found a way to punish him. They were going to get him, but just they had to find a different way. And they found it.
Riots.
Yeah. And on that note.
Yeah, let's...
OJ was guilty!
Let's...
Zemo! OJ was guilty!
I'm going to hang up on this podcast. Keyshawn, thank you for your 700 songs. Right. It was illuminating.
that's an audible deluge.
I like that as a term. Just it's been like a
it
speech.
Rolls right
it's,
off
it's
the tongue.
It's been a speech. You delivered an audible deluge. Right. My ears were wet with words.
Okay.
That's my role on the podcast. Just words.
Ariel Rodriguez, thanks for being here.
Sure.
What's going on Kung Fu Conversations this week?
This week, we are posting about, what are we posting about? Punches. Oh, well, forms training. If you're into martial arts and you like to practice solo, or you don't like people who practice solo and you like to spar and stuff like that, there's a reason why practicing solo, doing your forms is an important part of the process. So we talk a little bit about the training philosophy behind forms.
Is that called a selfie?
It's just called a form.
Okay.
Forms practice.
I learned another life hack tonight.
But next week, or this week rather, we are watching Captain America the Winter Soldier. We're going to watch Captain America the Winter Soldier, the staff of the Kung Fu Conversations, and we are going to podcast about that film from a martial arts perspective. It should be fun. That'll probably be up in a couple of weeks because I'm traveling this week.
Later, that sounds awesome.
So what do you say about Falcon?
What do you mean what I say about Falcon?
Like,
he's a stone cold.
He's flying around all over the place.
Sure.
Are you looking at happens. It from a kung fu point of view?
Yeah, from martial arts point of view, from fight choreography. Okay. I mean, Falcon doesn't really have too many fight scenes. I mean, when he is fighting, he's like...
He gets grabbed by the wing and slammed.
Yeah, I mean, he uses his momentum to do, like, a double kick on it, on the Winter Soldier at one point, and that sort of thing. He does have a small fight scene with Crossbones, Rumlo,
okay.
Towards the end, but you don't really see too much of it. What's really cool, though, is if you see the way Captain America's fighting has evolved from Avengers and Cap 1 to Cap 2.
Oh, you're going to spend half an hour on that Batroc fight, aren't you?
Well, no, not so much. I mean, George...
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and the guy that plays Batroc's MMA champion, UFC champion, George St. Pierre. So he's got martial arts built into his identity. But just seeing how Cap evolves over time, the way, like, through the movies, how his fighting evolves is pretty neat. Pretty cool. He uses a lot of more modern fighting methods in Winter Soldier. He does... You can see it from the way he clinches, the way he uses his knees and punches. He even uses wrestling moves to take people down. It's cool. He's just laughing at me, but I don't know.
No, he's not.
He's crying now.
I can't end the podcast. I'm laughing. He's over there making orca calls on his ass.
I don't even know what you guys are saying
now. All right. Now with that regularly scheduled break.
Yeah, so check it out. Anyway, we're going to talk Captain America in a couple weeks, so it kind of intersects with this podcast in a way. Yeah.
All right, easy, Muttley. I was Cyrus Morzani before I died of laughter. Thanks for listening. You can check out this episode at fullofsoundandfury.com. My website is fanbasecomics.com. Or you can also listen to us on iTunes. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2014.
That's the devil.